St. Mark chapter 4. We want to begin reading tonight in verse 35. And the same day, when evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. Their fear switched. Did you notice that? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? From this text tonight, I'd like to preach it's a very simple sermon, just very simple. I'd like to title it, This Ship Will Sail. This Ship Will Sail. You may be seated in the presence of God. In our narrative here tonight is actually a point in time in history. This is not a parable or a story used to get a point across. This actually happened. It's at the time that Jesus has been returning from his trip and his ministry through Capernaum. And it's getting close to the time of his disciples' ordination. And he has come there near the Sea of Galilee. And as you can imagine, preaching and teaching as he often was. Tonight I would like for us to pick up here and join those that's at the Sea of Galilee. Let's take a look at what is there to behold. Well, the very obvious thing is that there's a great number of people that is standing around the shorelines of the water. Probably very possible, maybe some standing in the water. For yet out in a boat, a little piece offshore, is the creator of the ocean. The creator of the wood that made the boat. He is standing in the boat a little way from the shore so he could get back from the people in order to preach and teach to them. It has been going on for some time. Our scripture text tonight picks up that it's evening time. So he has been busy throughout most of the day, or at least part of the day, preaching and teaching, dealing with a great number of people. He is not finished with ministry at all, but he is finished with preaching to those particular people for that particular time. And he tells those disciples, he says, let us pass over to the other side. Meaning they go into the other side of the sea that they are in. And what is the most important word in that quotation of Christ giving to us? He didn't say, you all pass over. He didn't say, get ye yonder. But his words was, let us pass over to the other side, which tells us that he intended to cross the sea with them. Well, I got saved some many years ago. You know what happened? He said, let us cross over to the other side. And I've been sailing ever since. There's been some things that's rocked the boat. There's been times there's been water on the wrong side of the boat. But we are still sailing. I am convinced that when God is asking us to do something, when God's plan and God's way is in a certain direction. It can come high waves, boisterous winds, and a boat that's full of water. But when he's saying pass over, there's not going to be at least but one thing we know for sure. This ship's going to sail. It's going to sail. You understand that he is dealing with men who are tired, no doubt, because they've probably been involved in crowd control. He himself, you understand that Jesus is 100% God, 100% man, and you figure out math, and he's 200% awesome. But we look at this. He's the God man. And I want you to know that even though he's God, the flesh part of him that is like you and I is weary from teaching. It's tired. And so he has gave the commandment, let us pass over to the other side. Now, was there much time for preparation to sail? I'm doubtful of it. Was there a lot of time to gather food together to cross over? I doubt it, because it was already evening time when the command come. So it somewhat leads us to the assumption that they all got in the ship and they set sail to go across the sea. Well, Christ goes back to where the captain normally sits in those types of boat. King James Version called it the hinder part of the ship. More than likely, it was where the stern control was at. And it was often the tradition at that time that there was usually a pillar where the stern was at. And very likely he was laying on that pillar, resting from being weary with ministry. And it was the disciples that was taking on the responsibility of navigation and the responsibility of getting from point A to point B. And I'd have to give kudos to those disciples. They'd done what they could. They'd done what they could. You understand there may not been much wind to begin with. You understand it might didn't look very dangerous to begin with. And probably even though tired, they had good hopes of getting accomplished what God said do. But I'm here to tell you something. Don't let this rock your boat, but it's going to be a hard fact. Just because God tells you something and reveals to you his will and gives you his direction on to do something does not guarantee that it's going to be smooth sailing. It's highly possible there's going to be some rough seas before you accomplish the mission. There's a devil in hell that doesn't want the gospel preached. There's a devil in hell that doesn't want families to stay together. There's a devil in hell that wants to bring destruction. And I'm telling you here, don't get discouraged with your calling. Don't get discouraged with the direction that God, oh God, listen to me here. Don't get discouraged in the direction that God is leading you just because it's got rough. I felt something back me up on that. Don't get weary in your well-doing. It may look troublesome now. It may look worrisome now. It may look impossible now. It may be look possibly improbable now. But I'm here to preach to you a truth that could be royally written down and marvel if it need be. That if God is calling you in that direction, you stay in the will of God, and this ship is going to sail. It may be rocky waters. There may be highways. But you hold on to what God has told you to do. You hold on with everything you got, and you will make it. You will answer the call. You will fulfill the mission. Just don't let the storm scare you off. This ship is gonna sail. This ship is gonna sail. You understand that why Christ, the man part of him, is asleep. there rose a great tempest across the Sea of Galilee. Did you notice in the text tonight, did you see anything about rain? You didn't. Did you see anything about thunder? You didn't. Did you see anything about lightning? No. We know that we have got wind and we've got waves. So I've studied some on about this Sea of Galilee. And it is the opinion of some that there are canyons on one side of that sea. That wind gets directed through that canyon or through those canyons and makes it very directional and makes it very strong. And simply from the wind blowing, it causes turmoil. You know what wind does to water. And it's simply because the wind is blowing. It's simply because the wind is blowing that the waves are getting larger and the boat is rocking more. Maybe when you started out, you could have, if it would have been rain and thunder, you may could have seen a cloud somewhere. Maybe you could have had some kind of indication that a storm was on the way. But sometimes when we set out, we don't see no clouds anywhere. We don't see no sign of a storm anywhere. And with joy, we jump on the boat. But then the wind picks up. Something that you cannot control. Something that you cannot manipulate. I want to tell you tonight, maybe the winds of hell is a blowing against your boat. Maybe the winds of hell is a blowing against your direction. But I'm guaranteeing you tonight that if you will stay in the will of God, your ship is going to land where it's supposed to land. Don't you jump off now. Don't you swap ships now. Don't you get off now. You just keep doing what you know to do. You keep going the direction you know to go. It maybe you've been praying, but you can't hear the voice of God right now. Maybe you fasted, but the heavens are brass. But there's but one thing to do. Just keep on doing what He said to do, and you'll wind up where He wants you to go. You understand? I made it very plain earlier this week. I'm not an old preacher. I'm still young. And sometimes, as younger preachers, so bad, you want to do everything you can to try to get another meeting. Just please give me a Sunday night. Just please. Or is that just me? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Sometimes I still like just a Sunday night if I can get it. But you so desire to want to make it in ministry. But I want you to know something. I want you, every young preacher, to hear me. Don't try to force your ministry. Don't try to force your ministry. Don't try to push it in a certain direction. Because when God is finished with where you are right now and you have come through that bit of training that you currently are in right now, God will open the door for the next step for you to go in. It sometimes takes years because you're not ready to go where you want to go yet. And so it is, you have to go when God says go. And you have to do it within the timetable that God wants you to do it in. And I'm going to tell you, young preacher, sometimes it gets to worrying you so bad. You look down at your feet and look like there's water getting in the boat. But let me tell you, just keep on doing what you know to do. Keep on preaching when the door is open. And God, if you will stay submitted to Him, will get you where you need to be in ministry. That ship is going to sail. There may be storms and there may be wind. And it may look like the boat is filling up. But if you'll do what you know to do and keep on, you'll get where you need to be. Now we look at this. The Bible begins to describe to us some of what's going on. We know that the wind has got up, the waves have got up, and the scripture said the boat was now full. It's a bad deal when water gets on the wrong side of the boat. It's supposed to stay on the bottom. But sometimes it gets on the inside. And probably if we could have been standing away somewhere and looking at that boat and the water got ankle deep, they probably had experienced that before. Some of these were fishermen. This ain't the first time you've been on water. Some of these had been in the boats before. But sometimes, even though you may have already got experience with God, and you've done had some times on the sea, there are some trials that come that even scare an old sailor. I want to preach to you tonight. I felt like God dealt with my heart. I was praying this afternoon, and I was seeking God about this service, and I was asking God to touch and anoint me and help me to do, accomplish the mission that He wants. And I felt like God began to reveal some things to me while I was praying. While I was praying for you today, and I felt like in this service today, there's going to be somebody that will soon be or is even now in this service. You're not new to Christianity. You're not new to church. You're not new to ministry. You're not new to all of this. But you are in a place that you have been so severely hurt, and your troubles are so heavy that fear is getting a hold of your heart, and it looks like your boat is about to fill up. And I want to encourage you tonight. It maybe looks like you need to jump to another place. It looks like you need to go somewhere else. You need to go and do something completely different than what you're doing now. But I felt like God dealt with my heart to tell somebody here in this service, don't you step foot nowhere yet. Don't you step foot nowhere yet. It's not time to go yet. Just stay with the ship. If you'll stay with this ship, you're going to wind up where you need to be. There may be the waves is loading you up right now. The winds may be tossing you to and fro right now. And not only is there a storm going on the outside, there's a storm going on in the inside right here. It's tormenting you. But I'm telling you, don't you jump ship yet. Don't you jump ship yet. It's not time to walk away yet. It's not time to give up on what you've been taught. It's not time to give up on what you know is right. It's not time to step off in some other direction. I'm telling you tonight that this ship that we're on, it's going to sail. It may be in a storm right now, but it's going to make it. This ship, you hear me? This ship is going to sail. It's going to sail. This may be your first storm, but this old ship of Zion has done sail through many storms. Oh, it rocked there on Mount Calvary, but it still sails today. Oh, there's been horrible sins committed. There's been martyrs that has experienced death. And maybe the ship was filled up with water, but I'm here to tell you it's been thousands of years, and she's sailing just as true today as she was when Grandpa had the victory. She's sailing just as true today when the old timers shouted the victory. Oh, it's set on a direction. It has a heading, and it will make it. It's going to make it. You understand that throughout life, there are some things, some objects, some people, some accomplishments that you put a lot of confidence in, that you feel assurance in. And for that person, I was telling you what God told me. That's your case tonight. That's your case tonight. Something that you put a lot of confidence in has got to the place that it looks like it's failing you. Back in early 1907, there was a dream that was produced by Bruce Ismay and Lord Perry. Accomplishment that they wanted to make. They wanted to make the largest man-made object that there had ever been. And so they began to work on it. It was going to be a ship. Its gross tonnage was over 46,000 tons. it was known to be the safest, the most reliable, the greatest ship that had ever been made. If there was going to be an opportunity of lifetime, then you want to grab a hold of a ticket to be on the virgin voyage of this grand ship that was going to be made. It took some 14,000 workers to build it. It took a total of 3 years to make it. Oh, yes, it was the largest ship that had ever been made. It was the very first ship to have a swimming pool on it. It was the most luxurious, largest, safest, 5-star floating hotel. Oh, what a grand time. If you'd have been living there and had the money, you didn't want to miss this trip. You didn't want to miss this trip. You could put your confidence in it that it was going to get you from one place to the next. You didn't have to worry about seeing the bottom of the ocean. You didn't have to worry about looking for a rescue, because this ship, some said that God himself couldn't even sink it. That was a quote for some. Oh, you know where I'm headed now? And sure enough, for all those that put their families on there, the precious children whose future lay in their hands, they put them on that boat. But sure enough, on April the 14th, 1912, at 11:40 p.m., the Titanic struck the iceberg and somebody's confidence got broken. Somebody experienced disappointment. Somebody experienced drastic tragedy. Somebody got hurt so bad. Somebody was overcome with grief because what they put so much confidence in failed them. And you are here today, and what you put your confidence in has failed you. But today I'm telling you, that icon of your life that has let you down, there's a Jesus Christ that's still the captain of the boat. He's still the captain of the boat. And you may be dealing with a storm and you may be getting weary with the waves, but rest assured, this ship is going to sail. It's going to pull up on yonder shore. There's going to be a day that we're going to step out of the boat and our feet's going to step on streets of gold. There's going to be one day that we're going to lay aside the cares of the waves and fall on our knees and worship with praise. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I'm telling you tonight, you stick with what you know. Don't you go running somewhere else. Don't you leave the church you are at now. Don't you get up and go in different direction just because the waves is beating your ship. I'm needing to tell you tonight, don't you make that move. This ship is going to sail. You go off somewhere and they may have a shout and they may have some form of some kind of spirit, but you better stick with what you know is the true thing. I'm telling you, you better stick with what you know and don't you jump ship. I'm needing to tell you, I know I'm repeating myself in this service, but I'm telling you, you don't need to make that decision that you're about to make. This ship is going to make it. You got to stay on board. You got to stay on board. We look at this. Did you notice in the text, it wasn't just that boat that was there. There was other little ships with it. Sometimes in your storm, you feel like you're the only one that is in the storm. Sometimes you feel like you're the only one feeling the feelings that you feel and thinking the thoughts that you're thinking, because you think it's you and your boat and no other. But I want you to know that somebody's experiencing some trouble too. It's not just you. You understand that there's loneliness in a trial sometimes, even though you're surrounded by people that love you. But because they don't know what you're dealing with, they can't really understand and express support like they would like to, because they don't know really what you're dealing with. But in this case, these little boats was in the same storm that this boat that Jesus was in. You're not alone. I also want to bring it to your attention. When Jesus did calm the storm, he didn't just calm it for that little boat. He calmed it for all those little boats. You've got to stay on board. Because it's not just you that's going to be affected if you haul off and go somewhere. It's not just going to be you that's influenced if you go off somewhere you don't need to go. There's other little ships around you. They're called Johnny and Susie. And your wife. And your kinfolk. And that person at work that's looking at your life even though they're making fun of you. But they're looking to you to pray for them. And for the one, the crackhead that you've been witnessing to over and over. That even though they hadn't darkened the doors of the church yet. But they depended on you to stop by and witness to them. If you jump that ship. If you jump that ship. When the peace finally does come. Where would they be at? Somebody's depending on you tonight. Somebody is depending on you to stay on board. Somebody's depending on you to stay on this ship. Don't you go nowhere. I just need to tell you. I know I'm repeating myself, but the heartbeat of me tonight is to tell you, don't you go anywhere yet. Don't you make that decision. This ship is going to sail. It's not just you that will be affected. It's not just you that's going to be influenced. You need to stay on board with this. You need to stay on board. Don't you go nowhere. You understand. There's three things that we have derived of these disciples. Number one, they're tired. Number two, they are fearful. And number three, they are faithlessness. Because finally, when they've done all they could do, they go to the bottom of the ship, or the hinder part of the ship where Christ is resting. And they wake him up. He says, why are you so fearful? And he asked them about their faith. Sometimes faith gets shaken during storms. And the reason that you're thinking about going in a different direction now is because you've got questions that you're dealing with in your mind that you used to didn't deal with. You thought you had it settled, but now you're dealing with questions that you used to didn't have. And the reason you're dealing with those questions now is because you're in the storm. And when there's questions begin to pop up, your faith begins to decrease. And I feel like you there tonight. The reason you're so restless with where you are is because you're wondering if it's really right or really wrong. You better stick with what you know. Can somebody give me some music, please? One of those questions was, when they come to the master, was this. Master, carest thou not? You probably prayed the same thing. Listen, I hope I don't appear hateful tonight. I'm preaching something that I know because I've done been there. I know what it's like. Listen, when I pray, I don't try to hold no secrets from God because he already knows the way I'm feeling already. The other day I sort of got tied up in a ball over some stuff. Found me a place to pray. What else you going to do? Go pray. So I knelt down there and I told the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't even feel like praying. I don't even feel like praying. They may wish they hadn't got me to preach, but this is the truth. I said, Lord, I don't even feel like praying. He already knew. That ain't all I told him. I said, God, I'm frustrated with you. I'm frustrated. I can preach this stuff because I've never been there. I don't mind telling you. I also know that if I don't pray that frustration out, it'll kill me. So if you're going to deal with a problem, you got to first identify the problem. Lord, I don't want to pray, and I'm frustrated. But you know what? Even though I didn't want to talk to him, and I was aggravated with him, he come to see about me anyway. He stepped out on the deck of my ship. And he said, "Peace, be still." Whew. I felt like praying then. I wasn't so aggravated then. Just got to remember this ship is going to sail. Would you stand? Please, don't make your move yet. Don't make your move yet. I need to tell you that today. I felt like, man, I could take you to the place where I was praying this evening. And I felt like God smote my heart and revealed it to me. Your confidence has been broken. Your confidence has been broken in something. And it has shook you to the core. But I'm telling you, just stay on board. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. I want to tell you, I'm going to tell you the wave is going to stop. The wind is going to cease. But you just stay on that boat until they do. I'm telling you, don't you go nowhere. Broken confidence is a hard thing to deal with, but it's very real. But you can't afford what somebody else does to affect your eternal destination. Our pastor preaches to us, which is my dad. He said, ain't nobody or anything worth going to hell over. If you got to make apology for something you didn't do, it's worth going and making that apology just so you can keep the bitterness out of your heart. Oh, God. Don't you go nowhere. Just because they're shouting there don't mean it's right. Oh, God. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I take full responsibility for this message tonight. I had to answer to God for it. But tonight, if your faith is failing you, I'm asking, why don't you come to the hinder part of the ship down here to this altar? Come on down. Maybe you're frustrated with God. He'll listen to you anyway. Maybe you don't even feel like praying, but he'll listen anyway. Maybe you've done fasting and prayed and feel like it doesn't do anything. Pray again. How about it tonight? I'm telling you, if you make that decision to go that direction you plan on it, you won't go without you being first being warned. Don't you go that way. Would you pray tonight? Would you pray tonight? You don't need to do that. You better stick with what you know. There come a time that when their faith failed, Christ still responded in faithlessness. Even though their faith in him failed, he still calmed the storm. How about it tonight before we give a general altar call? You're dealing with the broken confidence of what you thought was always going to be. And it fell all apart. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Quickly before I give a general altar call. How about it tonight? I was very transparent with you a while ago. Very transparent. I was honest with you. Your turn. Your turn. I'm telling you, You jump ship, you're going to regret it. It may look good to begin with, but it's not going to end good. This ship is going to sail. The one you're headed to is going to sink. Would you come? All right, could we come in for a season of prayer?